League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
Price sells cars.
You talk to Kelly about who the new offensive coordinator should be, all this kind of stuff. You got plenty of bonuses from coming out here. We get a lot of information from AUTigers.com on the web. I've been a subscriber for, 25 years, I think, something like that. We'll have to hump that up. And Jason Caldwell is with AUTigers.com inside the Auburn Tigers, and he joins us on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. Good morning to you, Jason.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Doing outstanding here. As always, we come to you with plenty of questions. We want to talk a little football in just a moment, but Auburn basketball has a chance on Saturday night in Oxford to win three games in a row. And winning three games in a row in February is a good thing for this Auburn program, Jason.
It is. I think if you look at it, obviously the goal coming into the year was to give yourself a chance to play in the postseason. And, you know, they've given themselves a shot to do that now. There's still some work to do, but they've given themselves a chance to be in the postseason, you know, whether that be NCAA, NIT, whatever. And so now you just have to, I think just continue to be consistent. And, you know, they've been consistent for, you know, 30 minutes of games for about the past four out of five or so. Finishing has been a different story, but they've been able to play well enough to get those wins. And, you know, I think it's just a symptom of what college basketball is nowadays. There's so many teams, very few teams, especially in power leagues, that are made up of veteran players. South Carolina is probably the closest one in this league, but there's only three or four of them. And then they're, I mean, look at Kentucky. Kentucky has to hold on to beat LSU in Rupp Arena the other night. And Kentucky's as talented as anybody in the country, but they've had their issues as well. So I think it's a symptom of college basketball and of this league that there's an Auburn team that can beat anybody left on the schedule, but they can also lose to anybody left on the schedule.
Yeah, looking at the remainder of this schedule, interesting. You know, they at Ole Miss, then the hot Florida Gators come to town, and they travel to A&M. But, you know, LSU certainly a game that's winnable. Missouri later in the year. Georgia's been hot and cold. So you look at the schedule, yeah, it could go either way. But I do see several games on the remaining schedule, Jason, that I certainly think Auburn's got a really, really good shot of winning.
Yeah, man, you look and probably you got to think Florida's probably the most difficult challenge. But, you know, being at home, you know, you think that, you know, that's a place that gives you a pretty good chance to you know, take that one to the wire anyway. Yeah, I mean, there's winnable games. You know, when you got LSU, Missouri, that's obviously two winnable games when you start looking at that. But Georgia's a winnable game. I mean, that's the thing. You know, this team has shown they can play with, you know, teams, anybody, given the right circumstances and the right night. And so for them, it's just a matter of going out and continuing to play at that level for more than a few minutes at a time.
Got to ask you a couple of things about basketball before we do move on. Auburn is not a great defensive team. Neither was Mississippi State. Auburn wins at home late Tuesday night, 98-92, over Mississippi State, and hangs on in that game. There were 72 free throws taken in that game, which is a lot to expect fans to pay money and go see. And, Jason, is my imagination or the majority of those 72 free throws come in the last 3 minutes or so? I didn't think that game would ever end.
Yeah, well, if you'd have been there, you really didn't think it was going to end. Two minutes, 25 seconds, the final 2:25 of that game, there were 19 fouls called.
19 fouls in 2 minutes. That's like Longshore's Church League, Jason.
No kid.
And I mentioned something last night on Twitter while watching Oklahoma, West Virginia. West Virginia is a team that presses, pounds you, puts their hands all over you. And I said, if the officials we had Wednesday night had or Tuesday night had been doing that game last night, West Virginia would have had 100 fouls. And I wasn't meaning that to say that they should have called them on West Virginia. I was meaning to say that sometimes, I know the directive has been to, well, you can't put your hands on guys when you're playing defense, but, man, that got to a point where, you know, a guy runs by you and there's a bump and it's a foul. And it was just too much. And it ruined the game at the end of it and made it hard to watch, made it impossible to watch this foul. And unfortunately, those are issues that you deal with now. Games are called much differently from night to night. And, man, I know you see that doing basketball.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get from an officiating standpoint. That makes it tough to play, and especially when it changes from minute to minute in the same game.
And we've talked to so many guys, Jason, basketball gurus, if you will, that are really in favor of a sixth foul in college basketball, you know, to keep the guys out there that people want to come see. In saying that, though, you don't want, you know, guys fouling six times. But I don't want to see guys fouling out. But on the other hand, I don't want to see, you know, a free throw shooting contest.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm kind of in favor of, you know, letting guys play a little bit more. I don't think you have to be the Big East in the 1980s, where it's that physical.
Yeah.
But, man, it's kind of like playing defensive back in football. It's hard enough to play defense as it is. You grew up where, you know, you're backing into the post. The guy's trying to stop you from doing that by you know, putting his forearm in your back. Those are things that you grow up playing the game that way, and now you can't touch a guy in the post. But if he goes up for a shot and you hack him, you may not get a foul call, but don't put your hand on him 40 feet in the back. that's my issue is that there's a lot more contact in the lane than there is, you know, at midcourt. And those are the plays that are actual scoring plays. If you don't call anything, call it 2 feet from the basket, not 40.
That's an excellent point. Jason Caldwell is with us, AUTigers.com. Let's move to football. Is there a backstory to Scott Fountain no longer being the tight ends and special teams coach? What's going on with that?
Yeah, I don't think it's a backstory. I just think it's a product of bringing in a new coordinator, changes on staff. I mean, I unfortunately, it's just the way of college football now. You look, and now February has become the busiest time for coaching moves. And used to, once moves were done in December, January, that was it. Well, now they're done in February after coordinators are hired, coordinators move. Then you have assistant coaches moving. I mean, it's all over the country, and I think it's just a product of the way things happen now. There's issues and where, you know, maybe I want my guy. I want to go a different direction in terms of what we're looking for as a staff. And those things normally happen, now after signing day.
Do you think the kids know that, Jason? That, yeah, the possibility this guy's not going to be here. You know, history tells us a lot of coaches make moves after signing day.
I would hope they do. I'm sure that they don't think about it enough. And it's one of the things that I would never try to steer a player to a school, a certain school. But if somebody asked me, the only advice I've ever given is make sure you're choosing a school for the right reason. And it's tough because relationships are really important in recruiting. I mean, that's what you build the basis of it about. But in the end, you got to look for the right fit for you. And a lot of guys do it the right way. They do. You hear guys sometimes that when you hear these words, I think, okay, this guy's doing it for the right reasons. When you hear the words, hey, if I were injured and I couldn't play football again, where would I want to be? Those kind of things, because in the end, these people, these coaches move around, and the chances of your position coach, maybe even your head coach, being there in 5 years by the time you get to be a senior, probably pretty rare nowadays. And so you better be happy with the school you're at, the guys you're with. The relationship's probably in the recruiting class itself, probably more important than the coaches themselves, because those are the guys that you're going to be around all the time.
Yeah.
I think some of the guys learn, but I think it's still something that, unfortunately, is a big part of it, is those bond with the coaching staff.
Speaking of recruiters, I read somewhere earlier this week that a possible addition or hire to Malzahn's staff will be a high-profile recruiter. I don't really know what that means. Maybe has some sizzle or, you know, wow factor. I don't know. But the article went on to, you know, just talking about, you know, obviously it's difficult for Auburn and the SEC. I mean, two of their biggest rivals have done really well in recruiting the last several years in Saban and Kirby Smart. Is that logical? Do you buy into that? Is that something you think they need if there is something like that type of recruiter?
Well, I think you need to have as much of a balance of recruiting. Obviously, it's important. I mean, you can't gloss over the fact that, you know, the team that gets the best players, it's not a guarantee. And you know, it's kind of one of those things that you kind of – this, especially last week with the Super Bowl, it becomes the cliche thing to say is that, well, you know, there were only 7 five-star guys in the Super Bowl and all these things. Like, okay, individually, you know, that's true. There's a lot less 5 stars, and that's a different argument for a different day. But the fact is that recruiting, and you look at the numbers, the signing classes, it's done for college. And the team that signs the most high-quality players usually has the best chance of competing for a national championship. Correct. And in the end, that's what it's all about. It's not about how many guys go on to be, you know, all-pro guys or win Super Bowls. It's about winning games with the guys you got right now. And the best players, I mean, you look at it, you know, the top recruiting classes, and I think, I think the teams that average basically an average of a top 15 class are the only teams that have won national championships in the past dozen years or so. So it's important. But also I think it's a mix of you got to have those guys, but when you get them there, you got to be able to coach them too. And so I don't think you can throw it all, just hire a top gun recruiter and then have a hole on your staff either. I think there's a mix of getting the right guy that can also coach and develop guys too. And I think that's an issue, no matter where you are.
Jason Caldwell, AUTigers.com, not only covering football and a lot of the offseason stuff, basketball, softball is underway. Baseball Fan Day is on Saturday. Baseball's getting cranked up again. You guys cover all of it, Jason. How can people access it?
Yeah, you can check us out at AUTigers.com as part of the Scout.com network. And you can also find me on Twitter at ITATJason.
Jason, thank you so much for the time. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, good stuff. Jason Caldwell inside the Auburn Tigers.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.